Hello, hello. Today we have a very special episode with a special guest, so stay tuned.
Welcome to another episode of Binge Eating to Food Freedom with me, Katie Papo. If you're ready for genuine and lasting freedom from binge eating, emotional eating, or out-of-control food issues, you are in the right place. Subscribe, follow, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, hello. So welcome to another episode today, everybody, to the Binge Eating to Food Freedom podcast. And today I'm very happy to introduce a special guest, Johanna from Finland, who's here to share really her journey and her insights with food. So welcome, Johanna. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Johanna worked with us. What month was it that you worked with us?
I forget.
Was it March or April?
Yeah, something like that. March, April. Yeah, somewhere there.
Okay, so now it's August. So this was April, May, May, June, July. So this was 4 months ago.
Yeah, only.
I feel like you've been through like years worth of progress in these last 4 months. Johanna, let's start at the beginning because of course, people listening don't know you. So would you be willing to share what your journey was like before this work? What was your journey with food like, and what were the challenges that you were experiencing the most?
Sure. I've had eating disorders basically since I was about 9 or 10 years old. It was more of the eating in secret as a kid. Then I started being bullied about being overweight and stuff. And then I started dieting because of that. And then it went into more anorexic behaviors. And then a couple of my friends went into the hospital for anorexia and stuff. And I was like, oh, well, I don't want to be that either, but I don't want to be fat either. So I didn't quite know what to do. So I was going between binging and restricting, basically. So there was like this period of, oh, I'm going to eat nothing. And then, or I'm going to eat just very, you know, healthy and all that stuff. And then it just got the periods of not binging just became shorter and shorter. So I guess that's how it happens for a lot of people. So I used to be healthy for much longer and then just have a small period of binging. And then it quickly became the other way around. So,
yeah, that's how it was for me too. I used to be able to stick to whichever plan I chose for months at a time. And then it became 1 month, and then it became 1 week. And then it was a miracle if I could even make it through a day without a binge.
Yeah.
So how old were you, or how long ago was that when you started that kind of cycle where it was very difficult?
So it first started changing from more of the anorexia to the binge eating when I was about maybe 16 years old or so. But then toward adulthood, it became more of an issue. I think it was when I moved to the States when it became harder, because I was also feeling very lonely. So I was trying to stuff those emotions, and a lot of things happened there. So it kind of became even a bigger issue there. And also there was more of a chance of hiding things, because there were, you know, my friends and closest family and everybody was back in Finland. So I felt more alone. And so I took on more of these things to cope with it. So yeah, I think it was about maybe 10 years ago that it became really a problem, but it was already like 15, almost 20 years ago when it was an issue.
Yeah. Had you been trying, before you worked with us, had you been trying other things to
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously some diets and things like that when I wasn't aware of what the real issue was, in a way. And then I was in a couple of 12-step programs as well, which, you know, I gained some great, I'm still friends with some people from there, and I've learned a lot and I grew as a person a lot, but it just didn't, I wasn't able to stop binging through it. So I was in FA, which is Food Addicts, Anonymous, no, food addicts in recovery. Sorry, those are two different things. And I was also in OA, which is Overeaters Anonymous. So, but it was just not the right fit for me. There was always some part of me that just knew that. There was also a part of me that was fighting against, because you had to sort of say that this is my identity. I am a food addict. And there was a part of me that just said, like, it feels wrong for me somehow to say that I am this and I will always be this. And whereas in your show, when I was listening to your podcast and you were saying, like, you can actually heal this. And I was like, that's what I wanted to hear, because everybody keeps telling me that it's something that's uncurable and it's something that will stick with you forever. So that's something that I had been waiting to hear, that it's not something just to manage, but something to actually heal and recover from.
That's such an important insight, because it's, as you know now, it's not who you are. It's literally not your identity. And I think, of course, when we've gone through something for so long, we can, even ourselves, if someone doesn't tell us, we associate our identity with that thing. Like, if I play piano for 20 years, I'm a pianist, right? If I play basketball, I'm an athlete, right? So if I binge for 20, 30 years, I'm a binge eater. So it's very easy for us to go into that identity, but also identities change and we can really choose. And it's not as simple as just saying, I'm not this, right? Because we have to really get on board subconsciously and mentally with that. But I think one of the first steps is actually allowing ourselves to believe that this is not who we are, even if we don't know how that will happen.
Yeah.
And I had the same feeling as you. Like, I could never in my heart call myself that, even though I felt like a binge eater, I was a binge eater. I never wanted to subscribe to the fact that this was who I am.
Yeah. And there was that big conflict, because on the other hand, like, my actions were telling me, like, okay, this is who I am. But then in my heart, I was like, this is not who I am. So it was always this conflict. And then also when I started doing this Path to Food Freedom program, there was still that inner conflict. So it takes some work and some time before I was able to resolve that, because there's still that old residue of, but you've always been doing this, or those old habits and the ways to cope and all of that is still there. So it's, of course, it's not just something that changes like this, like, oh, you know, it's not your identity. So, okay, I'm healed.
Yeah, exactly. And someone was asking about that actually just the other day in our free group. Someone asked, you know, how do we develop hope, or how do we even believe that if we experience any recovery that we're going to stay like that? Like, that, what makes me believe that I'm not just going to go back to that old identity? Which is a really good question. And maybe we can even address that a little bit here. But so what was it like? Was that the thing that made you decide to go on this path? Because, you know, of course, like, dieting would be a radically different path than the one that you've chosen now.
Yeah. So I was seeking for a different path for a while. So I had this thing going in my mind, like, there's something else for me. And I had even spoken with my sponsor, and he was actually a wonderful person. Like, instead of being too, because there's also many, like, two ends of the spectrum there too. Like, some of them take it very rigidly and you have to do it exactly like this and this and this, whereas some people can see, like, okay, it can be a little bit different for different people. So luckily he was able to see, like, it may be for me, some other things work that don't necessarily work for others. So I was sort of trying to find my own way of what might work for me. And I was searching for some podcasts on this topic, and I heard some other ones, but they didn't really resonate with me. And then I listened to yours, and it was instantaneously just like, okay, this sounds like it could be something really, really valuable. And I started listening to it, and I actually started applying in very small amounts, which is sort of like the any amount thing. And I noticed shifts in my first in my mind, really, more peace. So more of the being kinder to myself And there was already some, I'm not sure how to say it, but I guess some of the some things that you were saying already started ingrating in my mind. And I had decided that this is something that I want to do. And I was about to get married. And there was a part of me like, oh, it would be great to have this freedom before marriage or before the wedding. But at the same time, I was afraid of how this will, you know, how this will affect and what will happen, all that stuff. So I wanted to do it after because I figured it's such a big thing. And so I think that was that was the thing that I was already searching for something different. You just, your thing just resonated with me. So, yeah.
Okay. And it's, by the way, for anyone who's listening, this is the first time Johanna and I have spoken like face to face like this. Mm-hmm. And I say that because a lot of people really, you know, and this is true for most of the people who we work with, but we don't actually know most people's stories before we begin the work. And the path is always the same forward. And now you can see that you've been through it. It really doesn't matter. Like, you've met people from different backgrounds, and it really doesn't matter like how long someone's been struggling. As long as you want the way out and you don't, and you, someone just asked like the difference between like Overeaters Anonymous and this. And obviously there's many differences. But the main thing that I focused on when I was speaking to her was I said, with this, you're not trying to fight binges your whole life. Like with Overeaters Anonymous, it's like you're constantly, you know, priming yourself to like fight these urges or overcome this battle and to be victorious over the cravings. And so you have to stick with these rules and things like that in order to be able do that. Whereas with this, we want to eliminate the battle completely. So that way food is not even an issue in the first place. It's not even something that's fightable because there is no issue to fight.
Yeah. That was actually a really big thing for me too, because it was always white knuckling for me in the other programs. And here it was just like when you started talking about the pleasure principle, and it's like our job is to make ourselves feel as good as possible. And I'm like, have you ever heard of that in a diet program? Like, you're actually supposed to feel good, and like this gives you more enjoyment and more pleasure and more, you know, life feels better overall. Of course, in diet plans they might say once you've gotten all of this, but with your program it's not. It's from day one. You're like, that's what you're, that's actually a tool for you. So that was something that was very, very different. So yeah, definitely. That was very, that's something that I definitely hope everybody who's listening starts to work with, rather than beating yourself. Because when I used to beat myself up, that would just take me further into that loop and just make things worse. So also focusing on the positive and the wins and all that stuff, the pleasure principle and the what's going well and all that stuff, it just moves my focus more toward that, which makes me feel good about the progress I'm making, which makes me more make more progress. So it's just a good loop to be in.
Yeah. And this is, and you've worked with us directly for 1 month, but you've continued to practice this. And this is something that people ask when they're, what, because, you know, I would say the number one worry that people have when embarking on a journey like this is they'll say something like, well, even if I experience some success, like, I'm just going to go back to the way that I was, because I've always fallen off the wagon. I've always. So you, it's, and I'm not saying you haven't had like setbacks or you haven't fallen down. You totally have. So I was hoping maybe you could address, since we only worked together directly for 1 month, right? Most of our clients work with us for 12 weeks. You did 1 month intensive, and but you've continued. So maybe you could address that concern and how it worked for you.
Yeah, I think the big reason why you're not going back to where you were was because this actually feels good to do. Like diets and stuff, they don't feel good. You like, you're sort of fighting through it, like you were saying. So then you kind of want to go back, or the way you want to reward yourself for having come this far is doing something that's actually not good for you. But with this, you're constantly working with stuff that makes you feel good. So then why wouldn't you want to continue that? So, and the fact that you are focusing on progress rather than and knowing that it is, progress isn't always linear, that you may take steps forward and then take steps back, and it's more like this, or you know, so it's, I think actually it was, that was the month was a really great starting point, but it really has been meaningful to keep continuing. I've been listening to the videos so many times. Like I have so many of the, like, I know already when I'm listening to them, like what the next sentence will be. I'm like, already have it in my mind. And the meditations, I had them pretty well ingrained. So now I don't really, most times I don't listen to the meditations anymore, but I have them sort of like, I go through the motions in my own mind and remind myself of those things. Which is also great, because then you can do it when you're with other people or at a work environment or whatever is going on. So that makes it easy, and you don't need as much time anymore as you did in the beginning once you've practiced enough. But definitely, I've continued to see the growth, and I think that's what was so great, that you always, that there was this Facebook group, that you can post your wins. Because I think if I would have been there just by myself, I don't know if I would have kept writing, because I'm like, I'm just writing for myself. I want just to think about it. But when you actually take the time to write it, it really accelerates the progress. And it was really, really important. And I need to keep doing that, obviously, as well, because none of us are ever ready. but yeah, that's been very useful. And I still see change all the time. And so yeah, I really appreciate that Facebook group as well, which is available after the program. And it's wonderful to read people's posts there and get feedback from people and things. And also at some point, I'm grateful that at some point you said that it was like actually useful for people that I was saying some stuff. Because there was a moment when I was like, should I stop writing? People are probably getting annoyed that I'm writing here every day. So it was good that... even in that moment, I figured, well, you know what? I'm doing this for me right now. Because I've always thought about what do other people think of me? And so now I was like, okay, I'm just going to think of what do I need? What does my body need? What will help me move forward? So people can just not read my posts if they don't want to.
Yes, exactly. And I know how helpful it's been for other people, because I've heard it directly. And I think that this is an important part of the journey, and why groups are so helpful, especially with something like this, where it's a problem that's been so isolating, to have people who really get it. And because other people might be sympathetic, right? Even if we tell them everything, they might be like, oh, I'm so sorry. That sounds so hard. But it's such a different story when someone like really knows and has lived what you have been through. It's totally different. And I wanted to circle back to one thing you said about listening to the videos and the meditations, and how it's like been ingrained in you now. I just wanted to point out to anyone who's listening that when you're ending something like binge eating, and really what we're talking about, the way that we ended, is by creating a healthy relationship with food. So the binge eating falls away on its own.
Yeah.
Right? Like a lot of programs, like you might even count like, oh, I've been 30 days without a binge. Like if I asked you like, when was your last binge? Like,
I don't know. Exactly. It doesn't matter, because that's not the point.
Exactly. Exactly. And
the goal is the freedom and the peace of mind.
Right. And when we focus on building the freedom, building our peaceful relationship with food, building our natural relationship with food, then we shift our focus. So now it's no longer about, well, how many days has it been without a binge? Like, who knows? Nobody knows. Who cares? Yeah. And what I wanted to point out about that is what you said is the key. You said, I've listened to it so many times that I know the next sentence. I've listened to the meditations that I take myself through the motions automatically. And now I can do it in any scenario, even around other people, because I have practiced enough. And this is the key to changing a habit like this, is treating it like an actual habit, instead of treating it like I have a mental disorder, or treating it like I have an incurable disease. Instead, if we just focus on reprogramming these habits that have created the disorder, right, then the disorder itself cannot stand, right? It disintegrates, it dissolves, because all of the habits within it have dissolved and changed. So I just wanted to point out that, have you felt that for yourself, that you're like working on like specific habits?
Absolutely. And it was even intentional. I wanted this to become the way I think, like I want them to become my thoughts. What, like your words in my head are becoming what I actually feel and think. So that's the part of also the identity shift and the mindset shift, because I've been thinking in one way for such a long time that, you know, I need repetition to change from that to the one that's going to serve me.
Exactly. And that is the identity shift, is it really does start with taking actions that create new habits, and then the habits create new thoughts, and the thoughts create new beliefs, and the beliefs, you know, create are who we are. These are like, if we're practicing anything for a long period of time, like if I started singing today, I probably wouldn't call myself a singer now, or at least not a good one. But if I practice this for a while and I sing every day, or I start performing somewhere, right now I'm a singer.
Yeah.
And because now I believe it, but it all started with the habit of singing. And so I remember, and you wrote it just a few days ago, right, in the Facebook group, you said, I am like a peaceful, normal eater.
Yeah, like that's how I feel nowadays, which is really beautiful. Of course, there are moments that we go back. Like I said, there's those residue moments. But like, that's the majority of my time now, which used to be like hardly ever, if ever. So that's the beauty of it. And I don't, like you said, it's a non-issue. Like you don't actually, when you eat, and then when you don't have to think about it. It's not like obsessing over it every single minute of the day like I used to, so.
Right, exactly. Those little residue moments they used to be the normal, where it was the constant battle, and now it's like once in a while. And that's the kind of thing, and you've seen it, it only becomes less as you keep practicing.
And the same thing with, I think, when we practice this in terms of food, it also, the same thing happens with the body as well, like the body image. I love the fact that here we're also working on that, like how to have the healthy body image, and how the healthy habits support that, of course, but that the healthy habits are not something that you're trying to force, but it's something that like feels good to you. And you find those ways that support you. And so I've really noticed that as well, as becoming more and more okay with myself in so many ways. So I think that's really important too, because that obviously helps you enjoy life. And
so what were some of your big, if you could, I know there are a lot, but if you could share maybe some of the takeaways that you've, like some insights that you've gleaned on this journey, that might be an eye opener, something that if someone else were to hear, what would you say the big insights were that helped you, your takeaways?
Well, I think the three big, I'm not sure what the word is in English, but the three big things that we lean on in this program a lot is the pleasure principle, which I was talking about earlier, abundance mentality, which is like the, I can have whatever I want, whenever I want, however much I want. And that in terms of not just food, but everything, but especially with food, because my big thing used to be scarcity thinking. Like there was never enough. I was not enough. There was not enough food. This food is going to go away if I don't have it right now, or I can't have it tomorrow, so I have to have it now. And there's so many different things. So that was a big thing for me to practice. And in the beginning, that was like, I started gaining weight in the beginning because I was still in my residue thoughts about it. But then once you start really like actually believing it, like you can have whatever you want. Because first it's just like you're trying to tell yourself, but you don't really believe it. But then once it starts actually becoming ingrained, then that's when it becomes a non-issue. That's when it becomes like the actual freedom. And then the any amount was really big for me. Because there's, I think a lot of us, there's a lot of wanting to forgetting the word in English again, but you're trying to achieve certain things or do things perfectly, or like, all or nothing thinking, basically, that you, there's like, it's like, it doesn't matter if you don't do the whole thing. So that was definitely a big thing for me, because whenever I felt resistant to doing something, or whenever I didn't have the time or whatever it was, I just focused on any amount and right in that moment, like not thinking, okay, I'll do it later, but like, what can I do right now? The smallest little thing or any amount that feels good right now that supports my well-being and my body and my relationship with food. So that was always, even with the meditations and everything. So like, if there was some time, time when I felt like, I don't want to do the whole thing, then I would just do a little bit. Or the same with the videos, I would listen to just a tiny bit. And then like, if I was walking to the train station, I might listen to a part of it there, or, you know, so just the tiniest amounts compound. It's the same as with money, you know, it's the compounding. It's like when you put a little bit and it grows interest. And that's what happens here in this program for sure.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to describe it, is with money. Because it's true sometimes, and we don't think, even with something like spending, right? It's the same principle. If we spend $5 a day on this, it feels like, oh, it's just $5. It's $5. And we think every day it's just $5, but you do that over a year and it's thousands of dollars. Somehow it compounded all that time. So, and it shows really like in you, I think the work that you've done has now been like getting like exponential interest, because now it's getting to the point where it's second nature. Whereas at the beginning, it was not second nature.
No.
Like you said, it was like in the beginning, it's just like going through the motions and like trying to wrap your head around a new paradigm. Yeah. You were terrified of waking in the beginning, I remember. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I feel like I'm talking to a different brain. I feel like I'm talking to the real you, like this is the real you. This is the real identity, right? The other identity was something that was trained in from elsewhere. It's kind of like, in a way, and I know this is like an extreme way to put it, but in a way, it's kind of like being in a cult with the diet mentality and like this like, it's like we're indoctrinated, is what I'm saying, into that way of thinking.
It's so true. And it's actually something that is not just something that I've noticed or you've noticed, but also people around me have noticed. So when I saw some people, for example, at my sister's place, there were some people who were saying like, last time I saw you, like there's something different. Like she seems so light and so like she's having a great, like she seems like there's something different, like some kind of peace or freedom. And my husband has said the same thing. She feels like she seems so much like there's been so much less anxiety, so much less like sleepless nights. There's been so much less just worrying about food and things like that, or just it's been so much more peaceful and so much more joy and playfulness and just like, yeah, life is fun. And I have these days so often now when I just feel so grateful. I feel like life is good, life is fun. And it's like, it's so nice to feel that and like not worry or fear about things that really don't matter. Honestly, it seems like such a small petty thing that I was so worried about food or weight gain. Whereas now I'm like, it's like, that's not what matters. That's not who I am. Like what really matters is how I am in the world, how I am to other people, who I feel like I am. And that feeling of peace of mind, it's just, there's nothing like it for sure.
That's so good. Oh, that's so good. My heart feels like it's like growing in this world. Can I know we're almost at the 30-minute mark, but I wanted to just ask if you could maybe share one other thing, because you went through a process that would be unique to some other people too, in terms of sharing with your husband. Mm-hmm. You had some fear around it in the beginning, even though he's like the most amazing, supportive, like, my gosh, you have such an amazing husband. And, But there was still some fear about like sharing this journey, and he's seen you diet also so many times. So mm-hmm. he wasn't necessarily sure how to support you, because supporting you yes. through this is very different than would be in a diet. So I was wondering if you could maybe share for someone who like really holds this secret and maybe eats in secret, mm-hmm. even from someone who would be supportive.
Yeah.
That maybe a little bit about that process of like sharing mm-hmm. with them, and how sharing has opened that door of him being more supportive and you growing more. And
absolutely. I think, one of the big changes that has been here, like you said, like he wasn't quite sure how to support me either, because he was always supporting no matter what I was doing. And in the past, it was like I was restricting, right? So he was supporting me by not having those kind of foods at home, or not like talking about foods or things like that. So he didn't know, of course, that this is like something completely different. And then we were actually out on a date night, and I had dessert for the first time in front of him. And then afterwards, I was sick. Like, I didn't even finish the whole thing because I was like, it wasn't that great. And it wasn't because I was trying not to eat it, but I was just like, I don't really like, this is not the best thing. Like the other stuff was, the main course was better or whatever. And so afterwards we were walking, and I was talking something about, like I was saying something about the kind of desserts that I prefer over that. And he was like, this is so weird. Like we used to never be able to say anything about things that might be sort, quote unquote, triggering. And he was asking me those things about how could he support me and things like that. And so I definitely think that the fear, of course, is very normal, but I definitely say that it is so worth it to talk with your husband or with your significant other, because having that support, having somebody who knows what you're going through and you've told them how they can support me. For example, you shared some examples about maybe I could go on digestive walks with them, or they can ask me about my wins rather than about food or exercise or things like that. So that has just, it's so much easier when you have somebody helping you throughout this, who's right there with you. And so it helps, and it also brings you closer together, because they understand the journey much more. And so they don't feel separate either. It's kind of like when you have a mother has a child, and sometimes the dad can feel a little left out. I think with this thing too, where, because it's sort of so your thing and you're holding it, if you're holding it here, the other person can feel like they're left out, and they actually want to help and be there, and you want to be a team. So if you give that, you can actually, it just grows even more beautiful and expands much more when you're able to have that support from somebody else. So yeah, I don't know if that answered the question.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. That's so good. It's so good. Do you have anything that you would share, or I mean, you can share anything else that you'd like, but I was curious if someone's listening right now and they're thinking to themselves, you know, well, that's great for her, but I've been struggling with this for so long, and this has been my whole life, and I've tried everything, and I'm afraid of failing, and all of these like worries and fears, and really feeling stuck and still in that phase of like hopelessness of still believing like this is my identity, or maybe I can't change and I'm stuck like this. Like what would you share with them?
Well, first of all, the thing about this program is we're not staying stuck in the past. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. Like we're focusing on the solution. The solution is the same for everybody, whether no matter how long you've been through this, and no matter how deep and dark. I mean, I've been in moments when I honestly didn't feel like there was much, it wasn't worth living really, honestly. And to come from that place, I would just say that, you know, what has this binge eating already cost you in terms of money, your self-esteem, your self-trust, your relationships, your health? And how many more years or decades are you willing to suffer and put your life on hold? Because I know, at least for me, I didn't do all the things that I really felt I wanted to give to the world or do or be because of this. Or I would make my life so small because of this like, oh, I can't fit into some outfit, or I'm worried about the food there. I'm supposed to be on a diet, or what are they going to think if I've gained weight, or all these different things. Like, your world becomes so small. Are you willing to let your world keep becoming smaller and smaller? And what would it be worth for you to feel genuine peace around food and not have to think about it? Like, what would it be worth to live and enjoy life to the fullest and never again make your world small because of fears around food or your body? I mean, I know it's the program seems to cost a lot of money, but if you compare all of this to the cost of the program, is it really that expensive? I mean, sure, it's a big investment, but the return, if we go back into the financial terms, the return on that investment can be a million times more valuable.
Awesome. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And that's how I always think of things too. Anytime I've made a big investment in myself, like, of course, the initial thought would be like, oh, well, this is going to cost this. But it's not, if we see what the true cost is of what we're actually doing and then compare, right? If I can get a return on that investment, then, you know, it's worth it. So it's a good point, like, to really look at your life and see the truth. Yes. Yeah.
Like, what's your life worth, really?
It does come down to that, I think, especially when, you know, we were talking about identity early on in this episode, like, is this the identity you want to live as? You know, this is life. Time is what we have. Time is life.
Right.
Thank you so much, Johanna, for coming on and bringing on your insights and for your shares. And I so appreciate having you on. And I loved meeting you in person for the first time. It shows that you don't need, you know, a ton of, like, you know, face-to-face handholding in order to fix this issue. It's really about going through the steps and building the habits. Like, that's where the real work is, which is what you do every day. And I look forward to seeing you continue in the group.
And I do want to say that for me, especially, I know you can do this on your own or have coaching, but for me, it was really valuable to have the coaching. I really gained so much from that. I feel like, again, like, if I was, I would have felt so much more alone with this, and I might have, like, felt like giving up, or it would have been harder in the beginning to find those, see the progress and see those wins and stuff. So I think it was so valuable to be able to point me in the right direction when I was starting to shift back to those old residue thoughts. If that's an option, or if you're wondering about that, like, that was really valuable for me.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. I think, especially like you said in the beginning, when we're learning everything for the first time, you know, I always say, like, we can't see the jar that we're in. We can't see the outside label of the jar that we're in. We need someone else to, like, show us our blind spots and to minimize the trial and error and to tell us if we're making progress. Cause in the beginning we don't know. Mm-hmm. So I so appreciate you saying that. And I'm so grateful to have you on this episode, Johanna, and thank you for being here.
I love seeing your face here.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm. So anyone who's listening, thanks for being here. And if you are interested to learn about the program that Johanna went through, you can go to my website and check it out. And we do have the coaching options available as well. And know that you can change your identity around food. You can change your habits around food. You can change all of it. And it doesn't matter how long you've been struggling. And, you know, us two women sitting here, we are the proof. And there's much more proof as well. So thank you again for being here, Johanna. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Great.
Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, follow, or leave a kind review. If you're ready to get down to business and work with me to end your food issues permanently, please reach out or go to katiepapo.com for more info. Be kind to yourself, and I hope to see you for